Over the years, I've had this a lot in law enforcement, in being a pastor. And the question kind of goes a lot like this. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to good people? I feel like that's a question worth answering. I've known a lot of good people over the years. What about you? I've known a lot of good people. And I've known a lot of good people who suffer through tragedy, who suffer through trials and tribulation. I know a lot of good people who have lost their loved ones to terrible incidences. I've known people who are wonderful people, just amazing people that suffer from cruel diseases. And I look at things like that, and at times in my life I've questioned, you know, God, why, if you are a God who can change all of these things, if you're a God who can heal people, if you're a God who could make all of these things just cease to even exist, why, God, would you not? Why do bad things happen to good people? I guess in turn, it's for much the same reason that good things happen to bad people. In the careers that I've worked in my life, I have seen really terrible people. People with no moral aperture at all. People who would take a life without thinking twice about it. People who would rob and steal and kill and destroy. And that's all that they've ever known, all that they've ever done in their lives. And I've seen people that are like that have really good fortune. It seems as if they always escape the worst things that take place in life. Why is that? Partly because the Scripture tells us that it rains on the just and the unjust alike. But why do bad things happen to good people? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. If you find your place in the reading of the Word of God, let us stand together. Second Corinthians chapter 11, starting in the 23rd verse, here Paul, speaking to the church of Corinth, says it this way. He says, "Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to fall, and I am not indignant?" You may be seated. Let's pray this morning. Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you've given us this opportunity to come, to be in your house, to fellowship here one with another. Lord, in spite of the weather, Lord, we've been able to come to your house today. And Lord, I pray that you bless us for it. Lord, I pray that this is a message that speak boldly to our heart, that speak to us as Christians, that speak to us as the church. And Lord, I pray that others, through way of maybe our website, might be able to find this message and receive answers to questions that I know many of us have asked. Lord, help us to see today why it is that good things happen to bad people and why bad things happen to those that are so good. Lord, help us to see and understand what part your will plays within our lives, Lord, how that suffering, even as harsh as it may seem, even though that it is something that we often try to avoid at all cost, Lord, is something that you use for a greater good. Lord, I pray that today we see and understand that suffering for you is something that we should count as a blessing. Lord, Father, I pray today that if there's somebody here who's in the midst of suffering, in the midst of trial, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of just not knowing how, not knowing the right answers, not understanding why, that, Lord, You'll provide us with the answers to all that and more. Lord, I pray that today if somebody's here and they've never known You in a free pardon of sin, never had a relationship with You personally, that today, before it's everlasting too late, that they'll come and they'll give their heart and their life to You and they'll be saved. Father, Lord, I pray that but today You would use me as a mouthpiece and as a tool and nothing more for Your honor and for Your glory. Lord, I pray that I'd lay all things aside this morning and focus on nothing more than Your Word and the preaching of it. Father, I just pray that You take our church and that You grow us, that You multiply us, Lord, that You help us to see that we have a great purpose within this community and that we, each and every one individually, have a greater purpose in serving You, that You have a wonderful plan for our life and You have a plan irregardless of the suffering and the pain and the trials and the tribulation and the loss. Lord, help us to be comforted in the midst of all of that and to understand that it is not in vain. So Lord, we just pray that Your Holy Spirit comes and takes hold of this service. Lord, speak boldly and clearly to us today. It is all this we pray and ask in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Why do bad things happen to good people? I feel like one of the easiest and most simplest answers that we ought to begin with as to why bad things happen to good people is this. We need to realize and understand that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is full of sin. We live in a world that is full of unrighteousness. We live in a world that is basically enumerated, that is controlled, that is operated by sin and a sinful nature. We need to understand that each and every one of us, as we are sinners. Sinners in need of a Savior. Sinners in need of redemption. Sinners in need of sanctification. And Christ came and He died for us that we might be saved. But nonetheless, we still live in a fallen world. Paul wrote in the book of Romans chapter 3 verse 12, saying it this way. He says, all have turned aside. Altogether they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. That includes you and me. He says no one does good, not even one. Even for all of the good things that we do in this life, we're still but sinners saved by the grace of God. Amen? Until I leave this world, until I receive a new glorified body to be present with God, I'm always going to be a sinner. And anything that I set out to do for myself is always going to have a human incognition about it. And in life, as much as I want to do for God, as much as I choose to try to live for God, as Paul said, I'll find myself doing the things that I wish and want not to do, and the things that I want not to do, I find myself doing them. We live in a fallen world. Bad things happen to good people because of sin. We live in a world that is never going to be perfect. On this side of glory, there's always going to be trial. There's always going to be tribulation. There's always going to be suffering. The thing that I hope that we can understand when we ask such questions like, why do bad things happen to good people, is that we can understand it like this. Is that even in the midst of trial and tribulation and suffering and tragedy, God still has a greater purpose, and God is still in control. We serve a God who never ceases to sit on His throne. We serve a God who never forgets you. He never forgets me. And more importantly than that, He never forgets His promise. He never forgets His promise. The promise that He makes in His Word, the promise that He makes to us to never leave us, to never forsake us, to never forget about us. We serve a God who is always going to live up to those promises. But we live in a fallen world. Every one of us falls into this category of no one does good, not even one. All have turned aside. Together, they have become worthless. In our sin and our unrighteousness, to God, we became worthless.
in need of something that would redeem us. And God loved us so, and in such a way He sent His Son that we would be no longer worthless, but that we would have a greater purpose in Him. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because we live in a fallen world. Because we live in a world that is filled with sin and unrighteousness. We live in a world that is still not yet fully touched by the grace of God. The greatest thing that could happen to our world would be for us as a people to see and to realize the saving grace and the changing power of Jesus. You see, we serve a God who comes into our hearts and comes into our life, and it says in the Scripture that He transforms us, that He makes us a new creature, a new creation. And Paul says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the renewing of your body, and the renewing of your spirit. We live in a fallen world, but we serve a God who sent His Son to change us and to make us useful in His hands once again. Christ in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 18, He said it this way, and Jesus says to Him, why do you call Me good? No one is good except God alone. No one is good except God alone. But the great thing about that is this. Christ was God, is God, and will always be God. One with the Father. And if we believe in Him, we believe also in God. And if we have Christ in our heart, we have God in our heart, then we can have the love of God in our heart. Then we can express that love. And we can have redemption. And we can be that new creature, that new creation. And we can have the good of God in our heart. We live in a fallen world. And as long as we live in a fallen world, bad things will happen to good people. When I looked at the Scripture and when I thought about why do bad things happen to good people, not only did I realize that we lived in a fallen world, but I also realized that sometimes tragedy, trial, tribulation, suffering, and bad things happen in order that it might prepare us and help to teach us. How many people believe that? I hope that you do. Because I want to tell you something. If for a moment you believe that your suffering, your trials, your tribulations, your loss, your tragedy, if you believe that you truly suffer just for the sake of suffering, you're living a sad life. I serve a God who doesn't intend that I suffer for just any reason, but I know that I suffer in Christ for a greater purpose. Part of that purpose is to teach and to prepare us. Paul there in 2 Corinthians, he gave a lengthy example of the things that he suffered in his life. He was stoned, beaten with rods 3 times. 3 times was he lashed. 3 times was he shipwrecked, adrift at sea for a day and a night, marooned on an island for a period of time. I mean, he was imprisoned for the vast majority of his ministry. Why? Why did such bad things happen to a man who did so much good for God after his conversion? Why? Because bad things sometimes happen to good people that we might be prepared and that we might be taught. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Paul, writing this letter to a young man named Timothy, he said this. He says, Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and in Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. He says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine or teaching, but have itching ears, and they will accumulate for themselves teaching to suit their own passions. And I will turn away from listening to the truth, and they will wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry.
Paul endured all of those things that he described and that he shared in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 of those verses we first read. But Paul, who's attributed for maybe as many as 14 of the epistles, at least we know beyond a doubt that he wrote 8 of them, but maybe as many as 14 if you include the book of Hebrews. The vast majority of those, more than half of them, were written during times of imprisonment. Both the letters that he wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy during a first imprisonment, 2 Timothy during his second imprisonment, this letter, literally here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, these are the last words that Paul ever wrote to another human being. The last letters that he wrote. He was in prison. He was being placed on trial. He was sentenced to death. And at the completion of 2 Timothy, Paul was killed. He became a martyr for Christ. Why did such a bad thing happen to such a good man? Part of it was that we might be prepared and taught from it. There is no letter probably quite as passionate as a letter written by a man in prison knowing that he's about to die for the cause of Christ. He started off chapter 4 by telling Timothy, he says, I charge you before God. I charge you before Christ. And he lays out before Timothy what he ought to do in being a minister of God. And he says, and it's for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. And I want to tell you something. Those words would have never had the meaning that they did to Timothy if Paul would have never suffered and if Paul would have never been imprisoned. I promise you that. But Paul wrote those letters with an intensity that we could not imagine unless we were in the same suffering that Paul was in at these moments. Why do bad things happen to good people? It's oftentimes to prepare us and to teach us. We as the New Testament church would not have the letters that we have today from Paul to the churches of Ephesus or to the churches of Philippi, to the churches of Corinth, if it were not for the imprisonment of Paul and his sufferings, writing to the church and encouraging them. He couldn't be with them in body, but he could be with them in letter. And he wrote them these words of encouragement and upliftment to prepare them and to teach them. We suffer in this life and in this world to be better taught and to be better prepared. You endure the things you endure. We endure the things we endure so that we can be better prepared to serve God. You may not realize it or understand it. But your suffering now may incur or encourage or uplift someone at some time and better teach them, better prepare them to be a servant of Christ. And that's what Paul did. He taught Timothy how to be a better man of God. Be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Why do bad things happen to good people? It's not just because we live in a fallen world. It's not just so that we can be prepared and help to teach. But if we look at the reality of why bad things happen to good people, there is no doubt that we have to look at the fact that it is all for God's glory. My goodness. Preacher, you're trying to tell me that I suffer, that I go through trials and hardships and tribulations and death and loss and disease and all of these things happen for God's glory. Yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that there's nothing that happens in this world that ultimately does not go to the good of them that love Him and serve Him. There is nothing that happens in this world that is not ultimately meant to be and in some way, shape, or form for the upliftment and for the glory of God. I think back to the Old Testament book of Job. Anybody ever read the book of Job? Amen. I hope that you have. If you've not, that is in a wonderful example of someone who suffered greatly for the cause of Christ. For what purpose? For the purpose that God be glorified. God was showing the devil himself, literally, if you read the Scripture, God is showing the devil himself that Job, even through trial, tribulation, and suffering, losing his wife, losing his family, losing everything that he owns, all of his wealth, and his sanity, and losing all of that, that he would still be faithful to God. Job suffered for God's glory. We suffer for God's glory. To me, there's no greater reason in this world to suffer than for the glory of an almighty God, a perfect God, a God who, if He had any infirmities, the Scripture says that His infirmities would be greater than our own. In other words, if God had any faults about Him, His faults would still be greater than ours. The Scripture says, according to Paul, we ought to count it a blessing that we might suffer for Him. When we think about it, Christ has done all of the suffering that anyone could ever begin to really try to compare to or think about in this life or in this world. Christ has suffered the death of the cross that you and I might go free. And I want to tell you something. A lot of times we get confused that Christ suffered the death of the cross for us. Christ suffered the death of the cross for God's glory. That through His death, humanity and all the world might go free. That was for God's glory. Amen? For God's glory. Not for His own, not for ours, but for His. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10. The prophet Isaiah said it this way. He says, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver." He says, "I have tried you in a furnace of affliction." In the King James, that word affliction is changed a little bit. In the King James, it said fire, in a furnace of fire. But here in the ESV, I feel like it gives us a little bit better understanding of that word. Of affliction. We go through the things that we go through in life and we suffer afflictions that we might be refined, that we might be made something better. If anybody knows much of the process of how you smelt silver or gold, some of you ladies might think that your earrings or your rings just come straight out of the ground looking like they do. I promise you, they do not. Christy, I told Sam, Valentine's Day is coming up real soon. He said, "Do you need a hug?" And I said, "No, you need to get your wife something for Valentine's Day." You're welcome, Christy. The process of making that gold ring, making those earrings, it's a lengthy process. You see, gold and silver comes from the ore from the ground, and it's mixed with rocks and all these other impurities that wouldn't look so good on your finger or on your ears. So they take that ore that's mined from the ground and they put it into a fiery furnace and they melt the gold away from the ore and they separate the two contents and then they further refine it again in the fire and then they take it out and they use a process now called electrolysis and it separates virtually all of the impurities from the gold almost to the point of having a 100% pure product, not quite, but almost. And then you get that beautiful ring or that beautiful earring or whatever piece of jewelry it is that you like the most. Here, Isaiah uses this example. He says, "We are refined, but not as silver or gold." He says, "But I have tried you in a furnace of affliction." The trials that we go through make us better, stronger disciples and followers of God. We may not like it. At the time, it may seem so terrible, so harsh. Some of us may even think or feel that God is cold by the things that happen to us in our life. But He says here through the prophet, He says, "I put you into a furnace of affliction that you might be refined, that you might be made better." And by God making us better, He receives the glory. Everything in this life ought to be about God's glory. not your glory, not what you do, not what your righteousness is about, not look at me, look at what I can do, not about how much wealth I can accumulate, not how big my home can be. It ought to be about God's glory and what He can do in your life and what He can do through your life. Why do bad things happen to good people? It's not just for God's glory. It's not just to prepare and to teach us. It's not just because we live in a fallen world, but truly if we ask ourselves, why do bad things happen to good people? I believe it happens so that it can equip us to help others. Probably one of the greatest issues that I have with books written by Joel Osteen and Oprah Winfrey and Dr. Phil and any number of other people that you can think of that write those types of books, and you know what type of book I'm talking about. It's the fact that they have never really suffered. Yeah, Oprah, what can you tell me about being poor? Not a whole lot. You're a multimillionaire. Dr. Phil, what can you really tell me about how to fix my broken marriage and my broken home and my shattered life? Probably not a whole lot, because the man's really never experienced that brokenness. But I can turn to the Word of God and I can turn to Christ, because Christ above all has suffered. Christ knows about suffering. Christ is the chief of sufferers. I can turn to the Word of God and I can look at men like Paul, who has suffered. A man who suffered in prison and ultimately died for Christ. He suffered. I can look throughout the Old Testament and see others who suffered for the cause of Christ. Throughout the New Testament, who suffered for the cause of Christ. And their suffering helped others. Paul's suffering helped Timothy. Christ's suffering saved a world. Saved the world. That whosoever would believe in Him would be saved. That's what suffering can do. Suffering can save in the case of Christ. Suffering can make an impact on the lives of people, and you may be suffering and making an impact on somebody and you have no earthly idea. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, Peter said it this way. Speaking of Jesus, he says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on a tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. By His suffering you go free. Words cannot even describe. Words cannot even describe what the sufferings of Jesus have done for us. You may be at a point in your life where you say, I have no idea, preacher, how that my suffering can help others. I promise you that it can. You may be in a place, in a position in your life where you've gone through great trials. You may have suffered through addiction. Maybe it is your opportunity to help others who now suffer through addiction. Your marriage has been broken. Maybe you're in an opportunity now to help others whose marriages are falling apart. Your life has been destroyed by sinful choices and decisions. Maybe now it's your opportunity to help others who go through the same things. I believe that bad things sometimes happen to good people so that we can be equipped to help others. Not just for God's glory, not just to prepare us and to help us teach, not just because we live in a fallen world, but to help others. I don't want my suffering, I don't know about you, but I don't want my suffering and my trials and my tribulations to be in vain. Christ didn't want His to be in vain. He came and died for the whole world, that the whole world might be saved, that all would come to repentance. what I experience in this life, if it can help somebody else, praise God, that's what I want to happen. Your suffering can help others. Why do bad things happen to good people? I believe, if for nothing else, bad things sometimes happen to good people to help remind us we're not home. This world is not home. I'm going somewhere else. When God calls me home, when I leave this place, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I get to see Jesus one day. I get to see Jesus. If nothing else, my suffering in this life and in this world reminds me that this is not the end. That there is something that is far better than this life and far better than this world. That one day I get to go to a place where there's no more tears, where there's no more crying, where there's no more death, where there's no more pain, where there's no more tragedy. That is the end. That is my destination. And if you know Christ, and you invite Him into your heart and your life, if for nothing else, your suffering on this side of glory reminds you that you are not home. And if you're here today and you've never known Him, you've never invited Christ into your heart, and when I say know Him, I mean to have invited Him into your heart, to rely on Him as your personal Lord and Savior, to realize and understand that I am a sinner, and without Jesus, I have no possibility of being saved. I am completely worthless without Him. I am completely hopeless without Him. To trust on Him really means to trust on Him for everything. Have you really trusted in Christ Jesus and believed in your heart that He truly is the Son of God and that He has died on the cross for you that you might go free, and invited Him into your heart and said, Lord, here am I in need of a Savior? If you've never done that, then you've never trusted on Him. And if you've never trusted on Him, then I'll tell you this. I believe that your suffering on this side of eternity goes in vain. John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33, he said it this way. He says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I say these things to you that in me you might have peace. If you trust in Christ and you truly know Him as Lord and as Savior, you can have peace. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good people suffer? It's because in this world there's tribulation. Because that's what Jesus says. But He leaves us with this. He says, but take to heart, I have overcome the world. He says, if you know me and you're in me, He says, you can have peace in me. And He says, I have overcome the world. If you know Him, you're an overcomer. And everything that happens to you in this world, it truly is for the glory of God. Everything that happens to you in this world in the midst of trial and tribulation is an opportunity for you to take what you've experienced and to help somebody else. It's an opportunity for you to be prepared and to be better taught. But never forget, we live in a world that is full of sin and is fallen. But if we know God and we trust in His Son Jesus, there's peace, and we serve a Savior who's overcome the world. If you're here and you've overcome the world, maybe you're in a position and a situation where you just need to rely on His strength and trust more in Him. Maybe you're here and you've never trusted Him, never known Him. Well, today is an opportunity for you as the praise team comes and they prepare a hymn of invitation. This is an opportunity for you to respond. This is an opportunity for you to come and invite Jesus Christ into your heart and be saved. You can come this morning and I'll explain it to you. I'll help you to better understand it. I'll take you to the Word of God and show you what it says. But I promise you this, if you trust in Him, you can have peace, and according to Him, you can overcome the world because He is an overcomer. Bad things happen to good people. That's tribulation. That's life. We suffer. You know, this week we got a diagnosis for my dad that we kind of knew was maybe coming for a while. But it's been really hard to understand it. It's been really hard to process it. My dad just turned 50 a few weeks ago. And a doctor confirmed this week he'd been diagnosed with early onset dementia. And it's been really hard. And I've noticed changes in my dad for a while, and just changes in personality, just changes in the way that he does things, and obviously the way that he remembers things. And he gets at points and times where he gets a little bit confused, and he's just not as sharp as he once was. And they're going to start a process this week, and they're going to begin to monitor him and try to put him in a trial that will hopefully, you know, maybe provide some type of help for the dementia and be able to slow its progress down. I thought about that this week, and for me, I just thought it was a good time for me to remember, why do bad things happen to good people? We're not home yet. But in the meantime, we've got to trust and rely on God. Maybe you're in that position where bad things have happened to you, bad things have happened to the people you love, and you just don't understand why. It's because God is greater, and He can help you understand why. Why don't you come this morning? Why don't you respond to God's call? Maybe you just need to pray. Maybe you need to invite Christ into your heart. Whatever you need, you come. Father God, Lord, as we close out this service, Lord, help us to better understand why bad things happen to good people. Lord, help us to understand that truly it is for Your glory. Lord, it's so hard to understand sometimes how that the suffering of another person, how that the suffering of ourselves, how that loss and tragedy could fit into something like Your perfect plan. I know for some people we may think that, Lord, You are cold and indifferent. How could You pass down such judgment upon people? People whom we would think and see that might even be innocent. Lord, it helps me to understand and remember that we live in a fallen world and that none of us are good. Lord, as much as we try, that even though we are redempted through You, that, Lord, we still have a heart and a body that's yet to be changed fully. And that, Lord, we're still yet sinners, but saved by grace. Lord, maybe there's somebody here who just needs to help understand why it fits into Your plan and what part of Your glory it plays. Lord, I pray that maybe there's somebody here today who's never trusted in You, who has never known You in the free pardon of sin. Lord, I pray that today they'll come and they'll truly trust in You and they'll turn their heart and their life over and they'll be saved. Lord, I pray that this altar be a place where we can come and pour our hearts out to You. Maybe there's somebody here that needs strength, guidance, Your wisdom. Lord, I just pray that people be responsive. Lord, we give it all to You. We lay it at the foot of Your cross. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.